Let us pray. Son of God, eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace, Word made flesh, whose birth among us hallows all our human race, you are head, who throne in glory, for your own will ever plead. Fill us with your love and pity, heal our wrongs, help our need. Amen. You may notice as you read through the Gospels or as you hear them read to you in church that Jesus often begins discussions, or he will prod them along, using a question or two. And today's conversation begins with a question that Jesus asks: is it permitted to heal on the Sabbath or not? And that sounds like a ridiculous question to us today, because we would all think, obviously, the answer is yes. And that is the answer that Jesus is looking for. He goes ahead and heals the man. But then our reading moves on to other things, and those answers are not so obvious to us, or at least we would like them to be murkier. Because after the healing the man, Jesus launches into a discussion about feasting and parties and fellowship, about who is invited, who should be invited, who will be invited, and where we should sit. And when he talks about that, all of our earlier clarity gets fuzzy. Luke points out for us that what comes after the healing comes about because Jesus looks around and he notices the people who are at the party with him, and that they're all looking for and taking the prominent places, the places of honor, the best seats they can get. Then Jesus starts in on this discussion about where one should sit. But he follows that up with this bit about whom to invite to banquets and dinners in the first place. And he says to the man, when you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And when you hear Jesus say that, if I were to ask you who you were going to invite to your next dinner party, would you spit out this answer immediately? Or would you remain silent? Silent, kind of like the Pharisees a bit earlier. So to prod along this discussion, I will pose some questions. What is it that makes you uncomfortable in these words of Jesus tonight? Why do they make you uncomfortable? And maybe we could get it this way. Which position do you see yourself in the scenario? Going back a bit, do you like the best seats at parties? Do you want to be at parties with the rich and the famous? Not so much the parties with the outcasts and the lame. Let me guess, that is not the kind of party that you want to throw. Now, one way to sit back and listen to this reading and think about it would be to think about all of those arrogant, all of those callous Pharisees, and we can just shake our heads at how bad they were. And then thinking about modern times, we could think about the extremely wealthy throwing feasts that we are not invited to, and we could do the same thing. We could shake our heads at them, think about how bad they are. And there may be something to that. The Pharisees were in the wrong. Undoubtedly, there are snobbish rich people around today. But then the question becomes, what does that have to do with you? Why would Luke record it for the church of all ages? That is true. There were still Pharisees around when Luke was writing, so pointing out their errors may have served the church back then in some way. But what about us? Does Jesus have anything to say to us that doesn't have to do with long-dead Pharisees or billionaires that we will never meet, and so it is no wonder that we are never invited to their parties? And I would propose that the answer is maybe. Maybe Jesus does have something to say to us today. Our reading this evening cuts off at verse 14, but there is more that could have been included, and so that would have been included, and so I will read it to you. He goes on, "When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.' But Jesus said to him, 'A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I've bought a field. I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." Another said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go examine them. Please have me excused." Another said, "I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come." So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." The servant said, "Sir, what you have commanded has been done. Still, there's room." The master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." So there, now that I have added that last part in, it just probably cleared up everything, hasn't it? Well, again, it would depend on where you see yourself. How do you evaluate yourself in relation to the parables that Jesus is telling? Do you think, like the guy who proposed the toast, that you are a lock for the kingdom of God? I mean, you have to be, don't you? Just think about how nice you are, how special you are. You knew the right answer to Jesus' question earlier. And to cap it off, you are also humble, if you do say so yourself. But let me remind you of something that we pointed out a few weeks ago. When Jesus is in the house, when he is at the table, he is the host. And the feast that he is talking about, the feast of the kingdom of God, it does not sound like those who think that they are a lock for the kingdom do so well. Rather, in the parable that Jesus states, when the time comes, somehow, they tell themselves they have better things to do. So here we are at church. We're about to have a meal. Jesus is the host, and he calls out. But to come up and kneel at this rail is to confess again what we confessed at the beginning of the service, namely that we do not deserve to be here. We are sinful. We are unclean. We have disobeyed. Your specialness is not what brings you here tonight, nor is your niceness or any of that stuff. In fact, I think even with the little bit of diagnosis that we have done tonight, we would have to all admit that we are a bit on the proud side, therefore the wrong side, the side that knows what is right and also knows that we have not done what is right. But Jesus calls to us anyway. And when he does this, he is humbling you. He wants you to know the truth, starting with the truth about yourself. And when he invites you, he is pointing out to you that you are, in his own words, blind, crippled. He is making you aware of your lameness, of your poverty, but he is compelling you to come anyway. Come, eat. The table is set. I want my house to be full. And this is made possible to us losers because of Jesus, because he humbled himself for our sakes. Jesus, as you see in the Gospels, Jesus does not take the best seat, even though he actually did deserve it. Or rather, as the author of the Hebrews puts it, he goes outside the gate and there he suffers. There he dies. And when we kneel here at his table, we join him, proclaiming his death until he comes again. This place is not a place of power according to the world's reckoning. The world has better things to do than be here. Now, this is a place of confession. We confess our guilt before God. And Jesus humbles us in this way so that he may raise you in the resurrection of the just. Just as the Father raised Jesus to the best seat, puts him at his right hand after Jesus had taken the lowest seat. And here in the liturgy, we confess these humiliating truths about ourselves over and over again, that we are sinful and that Jesus is righteous. That our hope is not in the world or what the world values. No, our hope is in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, and that he calls us his own. The church is the banquet. And we are blind if we do not see that this is the feast of a king, that here we have a seat at the table with Jesus. Here we continually cry out, Lord, have mercy, and ask him to save us. To save us from the world, to save us from the devil, to save us from ourselves. And you should know that Jesus answers that prayer. And by answering it, gives us the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, but keeps our hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus forever. Amen.